when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, if you miss this segment, you're going to forever hate yourself, because we have Paul Fromm, my brother Paul Fromm. I talked to him today. He was scheduled to come on first hour. He said, could he come on second hour, because he wanted to go to a riot, and it turned out to be that. And listen, he has a surprise guest. They're coming in fresh from a heated confrontation protest. That's all I know. We're going to bring our brother Paul Fromm. He's been in this battle for years and years and years, since the late 60s, early 70s. But Paul, he's the director of the Canadian Organization for Free Speech, CAFE, Canadian Association for Free Speech. He has been for years. He also has a lady, another guest coming on. But we're going to bring the one and only Paul Fromm on, and we're turning over the mic to him. He's going to tell us what he's been doing today. And if he has time, he'll talk about an article he read called Just Sit Down and Obey, Shut Up and Obey, something like that. But I think he has such breaking news, he might not be able to get time to do that. So anyway, Paul, are you okay? Have you? I hope you didn't get beat up or anything today.
Oh, no. One of Canada's most notorious anti-racists, actually, I think it infiltrated this rather mixed group of people who are for freedom. They were protesting outside the offices of the minister, the deputy prime minister and minister of finance, against several government bills that would restrict the internet. So it was a freedom protest. But he told me, oh, I should go away, and the usual stuff. I just ignored him. It was a good protest. The police blocked off one lane on a road, and came off well. And it's part of many protests. Like there's protests by freedom-loving people all the time. There's going to be a big one next Friday. It's called Hands Off Our Kids, and it's a protest against this LGBTQ curriculum in many schools, and the fact that some schools will not tell the parents if their kid is using pronouns of the opposite sex, or the person is Paula but wants to be called Paul or something. The freedom movement is really alive and kicking up here.
Well, let me ask you this. Were there any, do you know of any protests being set up protesting the Israel's, the Jews' war against the Palestinians, their genocidal war, against the Palestinians?
Yes. There were protests beginning last Saturday, I think really the day of, and they have continued. There are probably protests in major cities today, and it's just driving the political elite nuts. Last Sunday, the prime minister and the leader of the opposition, Pierre Poilievre, he's with the Conservative Party, addressed a big Jewish outfit in Ottawa, and with all the, moaning and groaning and oohing and aahing, they both said, they just condemned the pro-Palestinian protests, and they have no place in Canada, and hate has no place, blah, blah, blah. And I just laughed. I thought, you're the ones who are always telling us diversity is our greatest strength. All cultures are equal. Oh, well, you've got that. You've got the diversity. You can see all cultures are not equal. I mean, the the big ugly chickens are coming home to roost. But our political class isn't quite as disgusting as yours. I heard Biden say on the TV the other day, it was Blinken. Here's an American Jew talking to Israeli Jews saying, as long as the United States exists, we will be Israel's greatest backers. And I thought, you are insane. I mean, how can you
promise?
It
makes you absolutely sick. You know, Paul, you probably heard this. The Governor DeSantis of Florida called the state is now in a state of emergency because of this horrendous war against the Palestinians.
The state of Florida is in a state of emergency.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I could understand if there's a hurricane but the state of emergency because some people are mixing it up 5,000 miles away.
That's right.
Some of the Christian Christian evangelicals, as much as I like a lot of them and respect a lot of them, they are absolutely bat doo doo crazy about Israel. They've been absolutely misled by the Schofield nonsense.
And my Senator Mitch McConnell came out and talked about how great and safe it was in Israel. It may be safe for the damn Israelis, but it's certainly not safe for the Palestinian people. He's nothing but a stinking warmonger.
It's funny. CNN, I dance between CNN and the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. That's our own, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Much of the week, I actually got more news off the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and it wasn't all Israel. There'd be other things. Occasionally, you'd find out what somebody was doing somewhere in Canada or in some other country. But CNN has been wall-to-wall Israel with a little bit of coverage of the contest for House Speaker. But most of all, it's just Israel, 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 and with absolutely no balance. With one exception, Fareed Zakaria interviewed a Palestinian last week, and there was some balance. He was trying to point out, this is nothing new. The Palestinians have been abused, especially in Gaza, for years. Israel has blockaded them, cut them off. On the West Bank, Israeli soldiers have killed over 250 people in the past few months. They don't really have independence there. They talk about a two-state solution, but the Palestinian Authority really isn't a country. They have all sorts of restrictions, it's just an ugly, ugly conflict. I'm in favor of neutrality, frankly.
You know, that's pie in the sky, that two-state nation. That's pie in the sky. It's just to lead the poor Palestinians, to give them a little tiny bit of hope. That is not going to happen. If one looks at the map of how much land has been grabbed by the Israelis, there's nothing left of Gaza. There's nothing left to create. How can you have a state when they're separated by Israel? You got the West Bank trying to join up with Gaza. How in the world would that ever work out? That's just pie in the sky. And I believe that this so-called maybe false flag is an attempt not only to destroy the Gaza, but it's also maybe a land grab by the settlers to take over the northern part of Gaza and ultimately all of Gaza.
I guess we're going to have to see that. I was when Eddie originally approached me, we were talking about a little bit of humor, and there is some humor. About 3 weeks ago, in the Canadian Parliament, that corrupt Jewish leader of the Ukraine, Zelensky, was there, and so. It was just like two old buds, Trudeau and he were hugging and clapping each other on the back, and Canada shoveled $600 million more to the conflict there. And I thought, Well, you know, we've got a lot of homeless here, but we'll let them stay homeless. We'll support the war. But anyway, it was a great Ukrainian day, and Zelensky spoke and got us to the Senate and the House of Commons, just the way you would have a joint session. And he got a lot of applause, and everybody was trying to be, praise anything Ukrainian. So the Speaker of the House of Commons got on board that, and he honored a 98-year-old gentleman named Yaroslav Hunka. Now, Hunka was honored as a man who had fought the Russians in the Ukrainian army and had been a hero. Well, he got two standing ovations. I think he got hugged by Zelensky. I'm not sure of that. And he got praised by Trudeau. And then 3 days later, the left-wing Jewish Forward in New York revealed that, well, Hunka could not have... What army would he have been in fighting the Russians? Well, he was in the 14th SS Division, the Galician Division.
That's still funny.
He freaked. They just... Everybody was denouncing Nazis. There was no evidence Mr. Hunka had ever joined the National Socialist Party. He was a Ukrainian volunteer, and there was never any context. I saw only one reporter anywhere explain, well, now look, the Ukraine had been occupied and had been dreadfully dealt with by the communists.
We got to go to a quick break, Paul. Hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll go back. We got to go to our first commercial break. We'll be right back to you, Paul.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back. I'd like you people to know, I'd like to emphasize that Paul Fromm and his guest, this associate he's got with him, they're fresh in off the street. They've only been in off the street just long enough to come on this radio program. They're live. Paul is a man of action. He doesn't just sit on his butt behind a radio microphone doing radio shows. The man has been going out organizing and also participating in other demonstrations for years. Paul is going to tell us what he's about during the break. He may expand a little bit on that meeting between Blinken, the Jew, the United States Jew, and the Israel Jew, Netanyahu. And he also says that some countries, believe it or not, are actually outlawing any type of pro-sentiments toward the Palestinians people. But anyway, go ahead, expand upon that before you go into anything else, if you don't mind, Brother Paul.
Well, I saw something, and I believe it was Britain, I don't want to be absolutely hardcore or definitive on that, but there are some places that are so pro-Israel that they want to ban expressions of support for the Palestinians or Palestinian flag or whatever. But I'm not sure. I don't know whether this is a false flag, but I know it will be used by both the Israelis and probably other people who are opposed to freedom in the West to further clamp down on freedom. And, of course, it will allow them to go into their absolutely, crazy dance about anti-Semitism, worse than ever. But they've been playing that tune for at least in Canada for 35 years. We've got a group up here called the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, and every year they put out on what they call the annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents. And that every year it's worse than the year before. But here's the trick. What's an anti-Semitic incident? Well, really, anything that some Jew doesn't like. For instance, if they saw a post on my website they didn't like, well, that's an incident. If somebody goes to a washroom and somebody has written, Heil Hitler, or put a swastika, well, that's an incident. That's a nothing thing. If you pare all that stuff out, there's hardly anything. I mean, we are the most tolerant society. How many Jews were killed for being Jews last year? Well, nobody. The institutions in Canada burned down or bombed. Well, nobody. I mean, none. It's all just hype and BS, and the press just laps it up like the truth. In fact, there was years ago a rival Jewish organization called the Canadian Jewish Congress, and its then head was a fellow named Bernie Farber, and he said, "Oh well." Yeah, the B'nai B'rith always hypes its numbers each year. But he says, the number of incidents in an area could double if the local hate monger buys an extra ream of paper for little posters. Now, there's a bit of an exaggeration there, but that their numbers wouldn't pass any honest test of statistics. I mean, it's all just total BS. But back to the fellow with the 14th SS division, the House of Commons and the various politicians went absolutely ape denouncing Nazism. You'd actually think, you'd think this is 1945. Talk about an absolute agenda. Run by people who are not our friends. And nobody, with one exception in the media, said, well, look, he was a patriotic young Ukrainian guy. In 1919, the Soviet communists invaded the Ukraine, took it over. In 32, 33, they starved to death in a man-made famine, 8 to 10 million Ukrainians to try to break the resistance of the Ukrainian farmers. So he's a patriotic guy. The Germans come in 1941 and they liberate the Ukraine. The war fortunes begin to turn, and so what's a young guy to do? Well, he could join the Russians, who were his country's oppressors, or he could join the German army, which is what he did. Now, what were his choices? One commentator in Canada said there is never a choice to support Nazism. Well, you're being pretty naive. Why in the Second World War did we, that's Canada, the United States, Britain, support communism?
Right, that's
and
right.
Stalin.
That's,
yeah, you
that's
know?
A good
yes.
question.
But there were,
good question.
But there was no common sense at all. In fact, they even tried to get, the government tried to get the citation made by the speaker removed from the official record. We call it the Hansard, you'd call it the congressional record. Well, they couldn't do that. But anyway, the speaker was forced to resign. All parties called on him to resign, which is kind of funny. We've had all sorts of corruption with liberal ministers. They don't have to resign. But the speaker, frankly, makes a mistake because so many people in this country are so badly educated. I mean, he probably didn't know a Ukrainian from a Belarusian until somebody told him.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid rules. But I'd like to introduce a person who did a great deal to help me in my election last year in Hamilton. I ran for mayor. I didn't win, but I put up a good fight. She came all the way from British Columbia, which is the other end of the country, to help me and did a fantastic job. Now she's out to help me on some other things, and she's a great recruiter, and we're calling her a Patriot Auntie. So here's Patriot Auntie, and she'll tell you a little bit about what she's doing.
Greetings from Toronto.
Well, hello there, Patriot Auntie.
Annie?
We can hear you just fine. You can speak up just a little bit, but we hear you pretty good.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about the protest today. If you will, tell us a little bit more about the protest. How successful you think that protest was in nationwide, Canada-wide. Paul told us that there was, I think, protests breaking out everywhere, as it is here in the United States, pro-Palestinian protests. And Paul said it's just the protests driving the people crazy. But if you will, sum it up in a nutshell, if you don't mind, about how many protests do you think they're taking place, pro-Palestinian protests and pro-free speech protests?
I haven't checked today, so I couldn't really tell you. I wouldn't be the person to answer that. It wasn't a huge crowd, but I can tell you my heart is still pounding from Paul being accosted by that communist. So that was pretty intense. But really what I wanted to talk about was the project I'm working on. It started during the lockdown. I was kind of called to fill in the need of my community, like white families that didn't have food. I knew people that worked in the food industry, so I was bringing food to them. And getting people legal help, helping people with landlords, babysitting if I needed, whatever the gap was needed, I felt I was going to figure out how to help these people. So it slowly evolved into like a matchmaking project, and I think that's where I'm going to like dig my feet in and try to take advantage of the fact that I know a lot of older people who've raised children racially aware, and they may have some great daughters and sons that I can get in contact with and network with some people in Canada and America and get some white families together.
That's a wonderful idea. So about how long have you been involved in that? Maybe I didn't hear. About how long have you been an activist like that, and how long have you known Paul?
I can tell you, I kind of started getting involved in like 88 or 89 as a teenager. My brothers used to come to the Zundel things and bring home Zundel videos to me to watch at home. And then I left Canada in the 90s, and I was involved with activism down in Florida in those years. I got back to Canada in 2000, got in touch with Paul, you know, because I remembered him from my youth and my brothers and that. So I got in touch with him. And basically, that was 5 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago, I think. So he's like family to me now, and I think he's a great resource, and we work really good together. You know, I'm 50, he's 70, so we can cross-pollinate a different crowd of activists.
Patriot Auntie is very, very good at recruiting. She reaches out to young people, young families, young guys, and is trying to recruit quality, not just people who will shout a few slogans and drink a lot, but people who actually make a contribution.
Absolutely. Paul, I go out with
Life Matters. We have to go to a quick break.
Patriot Auntie,
we have to go to a quick break. We got to go to commercial break, in case you can't hear. We'll be right back. People will be back, right back to Patriot Annie as soon as this commercial break is over with. Be right back, folks.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. With Israel warning people to leave northern Gaza as the war rages with Hamas, Egypt, Israel, and the United States have agreed to allow U.S. citizens to leave Gaza through the Rafah border crossing. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have already fled after being given 24 hours notice to leave before an expected ground offensive. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says they have only just begun to retaliate for last week's attack. Hamas has told residents to stay and vows to fight to the end. President Biden says he has spoken in depth to American families waiting for word about their loved ones who were kidnapped.
He speaks via Zoom privately with Americans whose family members are being held hostage by Hamas terrorists.
They're going through agony, not knowing what the status of their sons, daughters, husbands, wives, children are. You know, it's gut-wrenching. I assured them my personal commitment to do everything possible to return every missing American to their families.
And President Biden saying of Hamas,
these guys make they make Al-Qaeda look pure. They're pure evil. But I said from the beginning, the United States, make no mistake about it, stands with Israel.
Laura Winters reporting, the CIA reportedly issued at least two warnings about a potential uprising in Gaza in the weeks leading up to last week's attack on Israel, including one days before that said an attack by Hamas was imminent. The New York Times reported that President Biden and senior White House officials were not briefed on any of the reports. CNN reported that the CIA's assessments were in part based on intelligence provided by Israel. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan is the Republican nominee for Speaker of the House to replace the ousted Congressman Kevin McCarthy. The decision was made in a closed-door meeting yesterday. Jordan will need at least 217 votes from his party during a vote on the floor of the House to secure the speakership. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Patriot Annie, and we talked during the break. She's going to come back and talk about the two things we talked about during the break and anything else she wants to talk about. We also have our brother Paul Fromm standing on the. But keep in mind, people, they've came in right off the street from this hot protest up there in Canada. Go ahead, Patriot Annie.
Ooh, Patriot Annie, like I said, my heart is still pounding. That was something. But I can tell you, it would not be a trip to Toronto with Paul without being accosted by leftists and being told to get the heck out. Because this happens with him often out here. In Vancouver, they don't recognize his face, but here he is known. He's been active here for 50 years. This man is a national treasure.
Yes. Yes, he
so
is.
It's my duty,
no doubt about
you,
it.
You know, absolutely. So I cherish this man. So Governor DeSantis, I'm Greek. The Greek mother's solution is to pick up the slipper and slap him across the face and say, what the heck is the matter with you? This is insanity. I'm stunned. I lived through hurricane season. I mean, I remember, you know, Cuban raft people, but I mean, no. I mean, this is appalling. This is appalling.
It can't be
I
all
wouldn't
bad.
Want to be down there now.
So you're saying even though this lady spent 8 to 9 years in Florida, and she said the whole time she was down there, there was never a state of emergency because of, and you know, Florida is famous, notorious for hurricanes, but yet this DeSantis has declared a national emergency because it's 20,000 of its precious Jews are stranded over there in the Jewish heaven of Israel. Well, you know, and you know, also Sister Patrick, Annie, before we run out of time, go ahead and tell the people about your purpose. How can our listeners, especially our younger listeners, become a Patriot Annie type? And also, any of the primary, how they get in touch with you? Do you have a website, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
Then we can go back to Paul. But go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Patriot Annie. So you can find me on Telegram as Patriot Annie. So send me P-A-T, like R-I-O-T, Auntie, E-I, no, sorry, A-U-N-T-I-E. Sorry, still a little excited from the accosting. So find me on Telegram. Send me some marriageable age sons and daughters. Send them to Paul. We can take a look and try to match up people with the same religious beliefs, political beliefs, areas, ideals, and that's my project. So how to be a Patriot Auntie for the younger girls? Basically, look out for your friends, you know, take care of each other, care about your boys out there. A lot of them are alone. They don't have anybody to talk to, bad family relationships. Look for the people when they're not showing up online, reach out to them, check out that they're okay, and just take care of your community. Like, our people need to be cared about. You know, you can't get services a lot if you have political views or, you know, racial ideas. So we have to take care of each other. We can't rely, like, on the outside world to take care of ourselves. You know, we need to tribe up and take care of each other. And that's how you be a Patriot Auntie.
You know, Patriot Auntie, and could our listeners, we have dear family, we consider our listeners family. We have to, without our listeners, without our supporters sending in donations, there would be no Blood River, there would be no Liberty News Radio, who syndicates us. They could probably also find you by going through Paul Fromm, your mentor, your blood brother, Paul Fromm. So Paul, if you will, get the listeners out. How can they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, the best way would be to email me, and it's really simple. It's paul@paulfromm.com. So that's paul@paulfromm.com. And then I can put you in touch with Patriot Auntie, and she could give you, those of you that are on Telegram, she can give you her handle.
That's fine, you know, and people, you can also get in touch with me if something goes wrong. You can't do that. I can always get in touch with Paul. Sister Nancy, why don't you pick up the ball, and I'm sure you have 1,000 questions and 1,000 comments. Sister Nancy is we call her nickname, her new nickname is the Bell Cow. She's pretty much the center of Blood River Radio now. And so if you will, Bell Cow, Miss Bell Cow, take over and ask Paul questions, Patriot Annie, whatever you want to do, Sister Nancy.
Well, I'm going to go back to something we do weekly, which is Tar and Feather, and I'm going to say this week will be the Bloody Israelis. And our heroes, in my opinion, will be the Palestinians. And my take on this.
Hey, Sister Nancy, briefly explain. We have the Canadians. And Paul might not know what tar and feather is. I don't know if they do that in Canada.
We know.
Oh, you know. Okay.
Okie dokie. It could be an English thing. It could have started in England.
Briefly tell the audience what tar and feather is. We may have some teenagers on there that have no clue what tar and feathering is. So tell them briefly what a tar and feathering is. That's probably self-explanatory, but some of our young teenagers have been in public school and they've been dumbed down.
Feathering is just putting a real, you get the tar heated up and you lather it on a criminal, someone who's done something naughty, like these bloody Israelis. and then you sprinkle some dirty feathers on them. So they're kind of make it a little bit difficult for them to appear in public or to get this sticky stuff off of them. But back to this thing that's going on in Israel, I've been sick at my stomach. I can't watch television much because I'm addicted to news. And the news is so upsetting and so they're all marching in lockstep. Nobody can really ever say anything positive about these poor, brutalized, and terrorized Palestinians. There's not a network that will tell the truth. In fact, I think some of these journalists really don't even know the history of Palestine. I really do not think that they are educated to really know the background of Palestine. But my idea is this. I have, from the very beginning last Saturday, I said this was a false flag. In my opinion, this is a Clinton, the Jews took this from Clinton's playbook. You wage war when there's a cover-up for, in his case, a sexual corruption. Now, Bibi Netanyahu is facing civil unrest. And there's been quite a few days and maybe weeks and months of civil unrest in Israel over his wanting to take more power, basically. And also, he's in for corruption charges. I'm not saying this is the only reason that this happened. I think there's other reasons why this has happened. To me, it's almost totally unbelievable that Israel is probably listening to my conversation right now tonight. You can't tell me that they were blindsided, that they're without a clue, that they knew that this would happen. You know, they talk about 9/11, yeah, because they were involved in 9/11. They were
hell yes.
They were certainly involved in 9/11. So they want to compare this to 9/11 because these slime bags know that there was more to this story that's being told. I'm not saying the Jews were not killed. One of the things that really made me sick to my stomach is a Jew is being interviewed on some program, and he immediately said in the kibbutz where these hateful settlers are that 40 babies were killed and they were beheaded. This goes back to World War One, the lies they told about the what was going on to Belgium babies. Come on now. I'm absolutely fired up and sick about this.
You're so right. When I heard that, I thought, bingo, I heard that before. my granddaddy heard it. He was a German living in Canada, but always for the Kaiser. And when the German army smashed into Belgium early in World War One. The British put out the propaganda that the Germans had raped nuns, cut off hands, cut off babies' heads, and bayoneted people.
But
10 years later, the British admitted, it was just sort of wartime propaganda. It hadn't happened. When I heard about the babies with their heads cut off, just yesterday, Netanyahu had to backtrack on that. They are not able to produce a picture of a baby who's had his head cut off. People were killed.
Another thing that I don't believe at all, Paul, there is no way that the Hamas would be raping women. They wouldn't have time. They're in there to do a job. Yes, maybe they killed innocent people. They wouldn't have time to go around raping women or babies.
We hear the music. We got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back after this break, folks.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ. The Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare, the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is one hell of a broadcast. What a surprise. You know, let's start off with it. Redo the schedule several times. Redo the show notes. Guests can't come. Some wanted to switch hours, but it's just marvelous. I can't believe there is a God. We brought this this live, these two wonderful people, Paul from a long time brother, been an activist for years and years and years, going all the way back to the late 60s, I believe, early 70s at least. We have Patriot Annie, who's just, she's one of a type. What she's told me tonight, she's one of a kind. So I'm going to shut up. Nancy and Paul were having incredible commentary during the break. So I'm going to go right back. If you will, Nancy, go ahead and lay this off and continue on your commentary with Paul. And also, Sister Nancy, I call you sister. You're like a blood sister to me. We're all a family, white patriots. So go ahead, Nancy,
yes,
take off.
And, I call Paul Uncle.
Oh, okay. Well, Uncle Paul, he's like my brother. Because I'm probably older than Paul. But anyway, Nancy, lead us off. Your commentary with Paul, and we can bring Patriot Annie in.
Well, let's say, Paul, I think Paul and I were discussing the outrageous actions that have been and are ongoing with relationship to the walled-in Palestinians. There's over 2 million in a very small area about the size of the city of Washington, D.C., and my understanding is, of course, they're encouraging a million of them to just take off and go south. No electricity, no water, no food is being allowed in because of these very humane Israeli pigs, and they're supposed to move out of the northern part of Gaza. My understanding is that the only exit that they could make would be into Egypt, and they tell me they're bombing that area, even though they have forced and asked these Palestinians to move south. They tell me that they're still bombing the southern part of Gaza in spite of this request, and that the Rafah gate or the Rafah entry into Egypt, it's definitely going to be closed because we are paying off the Egyptians to keep these poor Palestinians behind walls. So there's very unlikely that any of this 1 million refugees, which the Israelis have created again, because they created all these refugees to begin with in 1948 and even before 1948, they created hundreds of thousands of refugees. People wonder, how come all these people are in these camps and they're refugees? Well, thanks to the damn Israelis, that's why you've got Palestinian refugees. These people were Christians. They were Muslims. Even Jews were run out of their homes when the British mandate opened up in 1948. and they are to blame for the refugees. They're only creating more refugees, and I believe they want to occupy northern Gaza. I think they'll totally flatten northern Gaza, and they will send in these horrible settlers to take over just more land. That's the way I see it.
You're on fire, Nancy. I'd like to chip in. I was going to say one thing, Paul. The goal of the Israelis, their goal, their final goal for the Palestinians is the final goal they have for white Germans, white Americans, white Canadians. They want our death. They want nothing less than the death of the white Christian race. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, when I saw those Palestinians, you know, heading, I guess, south today, some walking, some holding the, you know, personal goods, a few cars, and then farther back in northern Gaza, you see buildings, I mean, just imploding, and big plumes of flame, and these people being ordered to leave. I could only imagine, I could think back to what happened to my, my German ancestors in 1944 to 48, when this was the biggest ethnic cleansing, we believe, in all of human history. 16
yes,
million ethnic Germans that lived in what was once East Prussia, the Sudetenland, Silesia, forced to leave or flee, and about 3 million were died or killed along the way. Well, now, okay, it's not 16 million, but it's half the population of Gaza's, about 1.2 million, apparently, are just being... Go or die.
And there's lots of children. Mm-hmm.
All sorts of children. I mean, this is ethnic cleansing. There's no nice way or word about it. No nice way to speak about it. We're being ethnically cleansed, the European founding settler people of North America, Australia, and New Zealand, but not the people, bombing us and destroying our homes quite like that. We're being ethnically cleansed by an organized third world invasion. Not organized
yet,
by the third world, but organized by the traitors in Washington, London, Paris, and Canberra.
You know, I wonder if there's any politician who has the guts to defend Palestinians. Now, I know that there's a couple of Muslim women are brave enough. They call them the squad. I think they're brave enough to say that the Palestinians should have some there should be shown some humanity. But all the conservatives are probably bowing down and looking another way when bombs are dropping on innocent men, women, and children, having their legs blown off, their heads blown off, and all of this horrible stuff that's happening. The conservatives will be supporting it, the conservative politicians. And I'm just really flabbergasted that we can be so oblivious to the suffering of these people. I just can't understand. I just find it totally horrendous that we are oblivious to the suffering, the mass suffering.
Oh, Nancy, they're not oblivious. They're totally aware, and they're for it. Listen, these politicians, we have politicians. We have the Southern Baptist Church. We have the United Methodist Church calling for the blood of the Palestinians. These so-called evangelical Christians, what I'm so embarrassed, I used to be a part of a Baptist church. They're saying that these Palestinians need to be crucified. They need to be bombed. I forgot which politician it was. Was it Mark Rubio, I think it was, that said they need to use atomic bombs on those people. They need to nuke them. They need to wipe them off the face of the earth, because unless, if we don't, then the Jews, they might have a single hair on their head. I mean, they are totally aware, and that's why I despise these Southern Baptists. I despise these fake-ass evangelical Christians. May they burn hell and make me carried away. Go ahead, Paul. Back to you, brother.
Well, part of what I've been watching the past week is the absolute unanimity of almost all the mainstream press in the United States, and mostly in Canada too. Our probably most conservative paper has gone bananas all week. All sorts of guest columnists speaking about their trauma. one woman. I mean, she lives in Toronto. She's not saying she has relatives in Israel, but she can't sleep at night. She keeps waking up and getting her husband to check the security system. She's so traumatized, she can't eat or drink. And I'm thinking, lady, you're a drug hypochondriac. I mean, you're ill.
I think they had John Kirby crying today, and I think Blinken looked like he was going to cry. Yeah, I know they had John Kirby there. He's some big defense minister or secretary. He was crying today. And also Blinken, he looked like he was in tears. Yeah, everybody's in tears for the Jews, but not a dry eye for the suffering of the Palestinians.
The coverage this past week in the United States and to a large extent in Canada too shows the tremendous Jewish influence mm-hmm. on the mass media. I mean, it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. There was almost no dissent.
And the language they use when talking about killings and deaths, and it's so...
Oh, the Palestinians are animals, they're beasts, yep. and so on. I'm not supportive of terrorism or whatever, but and I'm not naive, but I mean, the language from the mainstream media... It just shows where the real power is. And, of course, here's the big yuck. Jews are always portraying themselves as a vulnerable minority. What do you mean vulnerable minority? They're running. I mean,
what a laugh.
Imagine, let's say, World War II France. If the French foreign minister was a German and he's going all over to Germany to negotiate, to talk about, I mean, this is wacko. If you were, some of my friends believe in extraterrestrials. I don't. I'm not into that. But can you imagine a man from outer space coming down and trying to understand what's going on Earth? The most powerful nation in the United States has a foreign secretary of state who is a Jew going over there to support fellow Jews. Well, yeah, I ask myself, who speaks for America?
You know what I've noticed, Paul, too. Thing that I've noticed in the past, because I've been around for years, is we like to put the country on the spot and make them squirm. I had this happen when I was protesting, against forced integration. They would bring a black journalist to interview us. This is the same thing we do to the Arab countries. We send a Jew representative to represent the United States of America. Now, the tail is wagging the dog. We do not have a country anymore. We are controlled by the damn Jewish mafia. They control this country. It's obvious.
Tell them, Nancy.
You know, you're reminding me of it was a comedy, but it made a lot of sense. There was a movie that came out about 20 years ago called Wag the Dog. It was a political comedy, but it makes that point. I mean, who speaks for America? And when you hear the president of the United States, and I'll grant he perhaps may be senile, but There he is. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't him. He is senile, but it was Blinken who was saying, as long as the United States exists, it will back Israel all the way. I thought no sane person can make that that promise. Well, what if Israel were taken over tomorrow by Muslims? Would the United States back it all the way?
Well, we said the same thing about the Ukraine, didn't we?
Well, people, we've gone to the end of the second hour. We're getting ready to transition to the third hour. We're going to pick up my sister, Braveheart, Monica Schaefer, and I believe we're going to try to bring Mark Tommy in if we have time. It may be too crowded. I don't know. But people, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back. We're holding the Patriot Annie and my brother Paul Fromm on for the third hour. Be right back, folks.